It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo. Sit with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. We'll get to Tiger in just a second. We do have some breaking news here that we want to make sure everybody gets. We have a statement from the NFL regarding the Washington Post article and its findings. This is the statement as tweeted out by our own John Kime. NFL statement says, quote, "These matters are, as reported, are serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values. Everyone in the NFL has the right to work in an environment free from any and all forms of harassment. Washington has engaged outside counsel to conduct a thorough investigation into these allegations. The club has pledged that it will give its full cooperation to the investigator, and we expect the club and all employees to do so. We will meet with the attorneys upon the conclusion of their investigation and take any action based on the findings." So that's what the NFL has said.
And I'm sure a lot of people are going to point just what we, when we read it before we came back on air, is you wondered, should the NFL do their own investigation? They're going to take the word of the outside, you know, attorneys that are looking into this. And I'm sure there are going to be some that say, shouldn't you do your own, bring your own people in and investigate? I don't know.
Yeah, that was my first thought, was you're going to trust what they're doing in this situation. Like, I get it's outside counsel, and that's not an indictment on them, but it was Washington's decision, and to trust their hands on any part of this process, to me at this point, is misguided. And it feels like an area where the NFL, I wonder what the reaction to this statement is going to be, and if it would be strong enough for the NFL to reconsider and say, maybe we need to have our own position in this situation, our own voice and eyes on this situation, to see what we find.
And I still think, as we talk about this more and more, we're all still waiting to hear from, if we're going to hear from, Daniel Snyder, when we do.
Well, and to that end, it feels like for the NFL to decide that they're just going to let the Washington football team do their investigation, just feels like the NFL's not taking it as seriously as I would have hoped. I mean, that's what this comes down to. If they thought that this was a catastrophic, epic thing that they really needed to put all of their weight behind, they certainly could form their and launch their own investigation, do what they need to do, but they've chosen not to do that.
And really quickly, I want to say, and I don't know the answer, I know we can find this out. When it was going on with the Dallas Mavericks, when this situation went on, did the NBA have their own investigation into it, or did they go off Dallas's? If we can find that out, because I don't know the answer.
That's a fair point,
that.
And yeah, that's a fair point. You know, a context on that certainly fair.
Yeah.
Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80. Again, Jason Fitz in for Trey, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. And we got the return of Tiger. We've been waiting for it. All eyes were going to be on the memorial and Tiger and how he played. So Tom Rinaldi, ESPN reporter, talked a little bit about Tiger's rust yesterday.
Let's put aside the fact that after 150-plus days, all Tiger Woods does is step to the tee and birdie his first hole in competition back on the tour. He's at even par right now, 13 to 17 greens in regulation. Other than making that longer birdie putt on number one, really hasn't seen anything substantial fall. But what's much more notable, Jay, was when Tiger Woods' name was announced, at every event I've ever walked with him, I've never seen this happen. Not a single clap was heard, not for him, not for the world number one Rory McIlroy, not for the four-time major winner Brooks Koepka, none of them. In fact, when Woods made that birdie on one, he got a smattering of applause from 10 people looking over the fences in their backyards. One man looked and shouted at Woods and said, "Great birdie, Tiger." Tiger looked directly at the man and said, thank you very much. Almost like a conversation, just a surreal emptiness and void out here.
So we now know where Trey was yesterday, apparently, just yelling over the yelling over the fence.
We got to like the fan and player interaction there. How about that? And Tom, that interview was done while Tiger was still playing, because Tiger did finish at one under. But after three holes, he was two under. And it was tough condition. It was really windy out there, really windy. But he has two birdies and two bogeys in the front nine, and then he birdied 18 to end up going one under. Tony Finau leads away at six under. Bryson DeChambeau had a 423-yard drive. A 423-yard drive. Now, I know they've got great roll and there was some wind and stuff, but then there were some 360 dives, 350 by some others as well, but 423. Now, he sits at one over. So, you know, he's seven shots off the lead. He's DeChambeau, but that is just unbelievable to watch. But I thought Tiger, is just, he said, you know, knocking off some of the rust, but he's right there, as I mentioned, five strokes behind. So we'll see where it goes today.
I think that's a nice reminder for Bison in all of this is he hammered 2 400-plus-yard drives, and he is going to be the second fiddle story all weekend long in this one, so long as Tiger continues to play like this. It's a reminder of who Daddy is on the tour. Like, Tiger comes out of this, and it can be as far removed from his true glory and the things that we all remember, but at the end of the day, that is still the sun and the moon when it comes to the world of golf, and we saw that play out there. Going to be interesting going for the rest of the weekend because doing well on Thursday, doing well on Friday. Those were things that we saw a fair amount from Tiger during his return the first time around from injury. It was, all right, we get to Saturday and Sunday, and we wouldn't see that usual killer instinct. That's what made Augusta and everything that happened at the Masters such an experience, is we saw the closer, and that was always the dominant mark of Tiger Woods and his era of controlling golf at the top.
Well, and we've also heard, experts have continued to talk about how he monitors his own back motion is going to matter, right? So to the point you've both made, I feel like a strong start is amazing, but it's also, I feel like I'm hedging my own excitement level, right? Like, a strong start is something I sort of expected, and then it makes me think, oh my God, if we get this every day, by Sunday, the hype train is going to be absolutely out of control. But there is a part of me that's sitting back and saying, don't let yourself get too pumped. Day one, it's easy by day three to suddenly feel it falling off.
See, I did this before, Jason. When Tiger first came back on the tour, I was the one that was trying to hedge my bets, protect my heart. I had been hurt in the past. I didn't want to see Tiger buckling on the tee box anymore and all this, and realize that it was all over. And then I realized when he won the Masters, it is way more fun to just say, yeah, you know what? Tiger's back. We'll live with the instances where it doesn't work out as well, because when you catch lightning in a bottle, there are a few drugs more potent.
But I think this is an important morning from this aspect. Guy dealing with the injuries he's dealing with, especially the back. He teed off a 117 yesterday, finished in the 5 o'clock hour, five in that area. Now he tees off at 817 this morning. So the turnaround, from the back, how does he feel this morning? Because once you get into the weekend, you're slotted in by depending on where you play, so you're going to get more rest. This being the quickest turnaround he'll have this weekend, so to see how he's able to start out this morning from the stiffness aspect.
I feel like yesterday we got a little bit of what's going to make it great all weekend. Like, it really doesn't matter where Bryson DeChambeau finishes, as long as he hits it really hard, yeah, really far a few times a day. That's what so many of us are saying.
The only time I want to see DeChambeau is on the tee box, right? I love watching all the golfers, and I love, obviously, all the shots, but you're kind of Tiger's the headline without question, and you wait for Bryson to be on the tee box, yeah, and just to see how far he's going to hit it.
That's your destination moment. Like, yeah, you're walking, yes, by the TV, you stop, you're like, okay, let's see how this.
Yeah.
And now we can go back. Yeah.
And we had heard from, I forget which golf reporter we had on, but talking about how even at the practice range and guys over hitting in the range, you had people stopping, yes, and staring.
It's like a batting practice for like Mark McGwire.
Which they said never happens on the tour, but it was happening in that moment. But the only thing I'll push back on is for Bryson, part of this rise in popularity certainly has been the beef. You can't undersell the beef in all this. But it's also been that he's been finishing in the top 10. He's
been close. Well. Yes.
He's been playing really well since the tour restarted play, and there's that thought that, all right, he's marrying this style and size with production. Does he get enough momentum going? And when Tiger Woods comes back, you realize that's the reason why, because we saw physical prowess married with dominance for so long. Like, Tiger was playing in a group with Rory and Brooks Koepka yesterday, and that seems like a throwaway because Bryson had been so potent on the tour right now. So it's had an effect, and if he doesn't go and perform with Tiger, that's probably going to start the wheel turning in a different way for people.
You're right, and absolutely, especially long-term, he's got to continue to perform well. It feels like right now, in this moment, he's become a cultural phenomenon in a way. Like, I remember when you and I went to the North Carolina Duke game, and right before the game, you're like, the one thing I want to see is a Zion dunk. And then, of course, he blew out his shoe before we ever got to see that live and in action. But I feel like the Zion dunk, the power, the thunder of it, is a little where we are at this point with Bryson, which is why, he takes that IsoPure protein. I got some. We're going to see. Like,
Did you really?
I'm going to beef up, right?
You're on the same stuff he's taking.
I figured, well, I haven't started it yet.
Are you working out like he's working out?
Are you working out at all?
Yeah.
I mean, remember what the lady who cut your hair said.
Tiger Woods is hoping he can get in the zone in round two. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm getting rid of the fluff, the quarantine fluff. I'm back in action.
No, you're not.
Quarantine's got a lot of ebbs and flows, man. It is a yo-yo would be being kind to the situation that's occurred with my body.
My body is just yelling stop.
Really quickly, the other two guys. You mentioned Rory is two under. Brooks Koepka is even right now. As again, they tee off in the 8 o'clock hour today. And I agree. Bryson DeChambeau, it should be like, no matter where you are on the telecast, when he goes at a tee box, it's like cutting into a Mark McGwire at bat or a Sammy Sosa at bat, like they used to do on TV, you know, whenever they were up. When he's on the tee box, you go to Bryson, you see how far he hits it.
Bam cam.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah, you guys are welcome.
Oh.
You
know,
I literally just sit around and fart out these ideas.
You
that
know,
is completely
the greatest
off
thing
the
is that I'm going to go tweet that now as my original idea, and you won't be able to do a damn thing about it.
That is really good.
It's Go Look and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. Yesterday, all eyes were going to be on the Washington Post throughout the day, as we expected and were hearing that an article was going to come out that would speak to the culture that's been created behind the scenes within the Washington Football Team organization. We got that article, and that article has 15 women that are alleging sexual misconduct by former Washington Football Team employees. One on the record, Emily Applegate, and then 14 others that spoke under the condition of anonymity. Go Look and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's head over to the Shell Penzo Boyle. Try that again. Shell Penzo Performance Line Gentleman, where we're joined by Liz Clark of the Washington Post, who wrote the article. And Liz, we really appreciate your time this morning. As you dove into this article as a whole, what really shook you the most as you put it together?
Sure. And thanks for having me. And a total shout out to my coworker, Will Hobson, who was tremendous on this topic. So it was a co-byline. In my 21 years at the Washington Post, I spent 8 years as a beat writer for this franchise. So I can't say a lot shocked me. I mean, some of it revolted me. So there are sort of two camps or two categories of the abuse these young women took. So sexual harassment, verbal abuse, unwanted overtures, texts. And then the other type is in the marketing department. This is echoes of a cheerleader scandal you might remember from 2 years ago, when the team was, you know, selling access to its cheerleaders to high rollers to close sales. So that sort of continues, in that their young female marketing executives were basically told to wear tight-fitting clothes so buyers have something to look at. There was an offer of a referral to someone who could do breast augmentation. So just things that on many, many levels do not indicate a healthy workplace, a good environment. And for people who are all about the product on the field and don't really see any of this as explosive, first of all, I'm sorry that you feel that way. But more importantly for you, I can draw a direct line from what we found to the product on the field, to the fact that, you know, the Redskins haven't won a playoff game in 15 years, and they've had one 10-win season in the past decade. And what has happened to the franchise on the field, in reputation, in revenue, in the 21 years of Dan Snyder's ownership?
Yeah, no doubt it hasn't been great as far as some of the winning percentages and playoff wins and all that. No doubt about it. People also, Liz, are looking to see, is there a direct line in all of this to Dan Snyder?
Sure. So none of these cases of sexual harassment on any level attach personally to Dan Snyder or Bruce Allen, who was a 10-year president, and he's now gone. But it very much reflects, it could not have happened in a workplace with a healthy culture. This is a culture that is not conducive to winning. In my 8 years, I covered four head coaches, untold executives. Things never change. There are sort of two constants there that I think do connect to the owner. Anybody in any workplace will tell you the culture is set at the top. And that culture, in the over the past 21 years, and we'll see if Ron Rivera can change this, is that all employees are replaceable, from office assistants to quarterbacks to head coaches. There is never a spirit of unity. We're all one. We're all pulling for the same thing. Another theme that never changes is a very good management tactic is abuse, is profanity and leaning hard, demanding now results on everybody, and that in turn trickles down to the people who report to you. So that is not good. And then in the sales department, you know, initially the MO was we're going to sell these season tickets on nostalgia because the team has a great tradition and a great passionate fan base, at least 10, 15 years ago, that we all know. And now as that fan base is waning, it's the recent MO is we sell tickets and suites with short skirts and giving buyers something to look at through our female employees.
Talking to Liz Clark with us from the Washington Post again, one of the, as she pointed out, co-authors of this story on what is going on inside the building for the Washington football team. I'm curious at the beginning of all this, you mentioned you worked around the team for 8 years. You saw, I'm sure, a lot of things firsthand, but for this story in particular, what was the thing that set you down the road to talking to all these women? What was the first thing that kind of started you down the path to this story?
Yeah, so this goes back 2 years at least. You know, we had gotten some reports both on this is just a hostile workplace, toxic workplace, some would say. The turnover, even the casual fan, your head is constantly on a swivel about who is coaching, playing quarterback, calling the plays, and is somebody who worked in the building or worked at the team headquarters. I saw that on the staff. I mean, it's a staggering. I feel like the first main entry into this issue involved a foundation, the original Americans Foundation that Dan Snyder set up in 2014, with the stated goal of helping Native American communities. It also had a clear agenda of pushing back on critics of the name, longstanding critics of the name. So it was both kind of a propaganda organization and a charitable organization whose charity has stopped. Other outlets have reported that. So there was a case of sexual harassment there, and there were public records filed about it. I believe there was an EEOC complaint. And that led, as often happens, sorry to be so long-winded, to people saying, you know, you might want to talk to so-and-so. You might want to talk to this person. I know this person had a struggle. And with this team, there's a group of people who work in the front office in Ashburn, Virginia, and there's a different group that works at the stadium in marketing. So it's sort of two different workplaces, and it was a long, long process of getting young women who to feel comfortable talking to us on the terms that they did.
And what was, as you started talking to the women involved in this, sort of the consistent, whether it was emotion or response or you know, pervasive thought that maybe connected all of them in this, or was there even one?
Yeah, there was. I mean, on the sexual harassment, unwelcome advances, it's variations on a theme that are just gross and, you know, unacceptable. From, you know, you have a nice but turnaround text that said, you know, we have a pool going on here. Are the breasts fake or real? I mean, this is a workplace. You know, propositioning. It's just. That's, you know, it would be gross in a bar, but this is an important NFL team. It's a $3.4 billion company, and I'm sorry, I failed to say what I think is a real, real problem and a real reflection of the ownership is is the failure to have a legitimately staffed, professionally run HR department in the building. There was no training about what is sexual harassment. There's no training about what a hostile workplace is. There's no protocol for here's how you file a complaint. There was certainly zero sense if you were a woman making $30,000 and this was your first job out of college, that you would be safe in reporting something there against maybe somebody who made six figures. So that is a spending priority. And it's also just dumb beyond words, you know, for a $3.4 billion company to not protect itself, you know, if you have no heart for offering employees a safe place to air grievances or seek help, you know, it's just basic business practice. I cannot believe there's not a high-functioning HR department in any comparable company in this day and age. But they lack that, yet spent profligately on free agents and all sorts of other things. The spending at that place under this owner is cheap beyond words on some things and wasteful beyond belief on other things.
We're speaking to Liz Clark from the Washington Post, who co-authored the article that was released yesterday about the Washington Football Club and 15 women that have alleged sexual misconduct through the process of it. Liz, I find it interesting in the article you mentioned that Dan Snyder was approached to respond to this in interviews and didn't. You also mentioned that the Post presented detailed allegations and findings to the club, which resulted in three employees leaving. When all of this information was presented to the football team before it actually hit the article, what was their reaction to what you guys were going to be publishing?
Yes, and I'm glad you've gone there, because there are some affirmative things that I want to say about the club's response. So the initial response, and my coworker Will Hobson dealt with the team on this, but I understand, you know, everything about the story in our joint reporting process. The initial response was, we don't respond to hearsay. And then when Will came forward really with a memo outlining specific incidents, here's who was involved, here's what was said. In fact, we have texts that were sent. The team took it quite seriously. We certainly weren't informed, but as we were still reporting and trying to pull the story together, two scouts left. They were fired. A third very significant person resigned. And this is key in the story, the team announced they've hired a lawyer, a female lawyer, very prominent, accomplished lawyer, to lead a thorough review of their internal workplace issues and chart a new course of workplace issues going forward. Now, that's, you got to applaud that, but I think anybody who's followed this team might remember that play, because that's a play that came into play after the cheerleader scandal. The team announced they were doing a thorough internal review, and it came up again. The play was used again at the height of the name controversy in the past 5 weeks. They're doing an internal review. So I want to acknowledge the steps they've taken, and that they did respond to us, and they seemingly responded internally. And I wish Coach Rivera the best. He has it outrageous amount on his shoulders. This team does not have a president. It does not have a GM. He is now tasked with changing a culture, not just picking a quarterback, but putting a product on the field that's credible. And somehow he's supposed to be designing a logo and helping pick a name at the same time. It's just bizarre.
Liz, we appreciate you joining us. We appreciate the extra insight and great work on the article. You guys can check it out on the Washington Post right now. Liz Clark. Liz, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Liz. It's just amazing the separate issue of Ron Rivera and what he has walked into with that organization.
Yeah, her listing it all at the end there really just kind of smacks you in the mouth.
I don't know how any one person can fix as much as he has to. We're going to get into much more on this. Plus, why there's a lot of work still to be done just to have an NFL season this year. We'll get to all of that after SportsCenter.
again, as we just talked to Liz Clark, one of the two writers, along with Will Hobson, about the what's going on in Washington, where 15 female employees who previously worked for the Washington Football Club have alleged verbal and sexual harassment by former scouts and members of Dan Snyder's inner circle. So Washington has looked at outside counsel to come in for an investigation. The NFL did come out with a statement saying they're going to wait for that investigation from that outside counsel and then talk to them about what they found. In the NBA, the Bucks are awaiting the arrival of Eric Bledsoe as the starting point guard. He was tested positive for the coronavirus. Bledsoe told ESPN he's asymptomatic. Larry posted on Instagram to encourage people to wear a mask. Milwaukee opens play July 23rd in a scrimmage against San Antonio. And Tiger Woods, back from his five-month layoff from tournament golf, he shot a 1-under 71. He's in the top 20. He broke par with a birdie on the 18th hole and ended up just five strokes off the lead held by our buddy Tony Finau. Action does continue today. And on this date, July 17th, 1974, Cardinals right-hander Bob Gibson, called the plate on him, go ahead, becomes the second pitcher in baseball history to record 3,000 career strikeouts, doing so against the Reds.
Sports Center is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant. Don't have time to wax your car? 303 Touchless Sealant's a quick and easier solution. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's that easy. Get ultimate protection and shine in minutes that last up to 6 months. Now available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more info.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. Obviously, a lot to get into and a lot to continue to unpack on the article yesterday in the Washington Post regarding 15 females that are alleging that they're alleging misconduct within the organization and within the Washington football team and the way they were treated and harassment. So with that being said, and obviously some other NFL questions to get to as we try and figure out how they're going to play a season at all, let's head over to the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. We're joined by ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. Woody, thanks for the time this morning. Before we get into any of the stuff we'll try and figure out about actual play, you know, as a former player, when you see what was reported in the Washington Post article about the mistreatment of the women within the halls of the Washington football team, what's your reaction?
Well, a couple things. Number one, it's just a peek into the world of what women go through in sports. I mean, we've heard countless stories from women all across the sports spectrum of these type of incidences happen. So it's unfortunate that it happened, but I really applaud the women that came forward and to tell their story, to tell their truth, and really expose what a toxic environment that the Washington football team is. And usually with a toxic environment, it's because of toxic management, and that's what we're seeing playing out with the Washington football team.
Damian, real quick, also, I think Mike Golic Sr. smartly pointed out when all of this sort of thing was happening in Dallas with the Mavericks, it was pointed out that the females in the organization felt more comfortable with the players than they did with the people in the halls in the front office. What, if anything, can players be doing to sort of affect an attitude change from the people that are in the building that aren't players?
Well, I just think it's about decorum. You got to understand that, you know, these females are there to do their job just like the men are. You know, I think that's what happens a lot of times is, you know, we just perpetuate this environment where, you know, we treat female, you know, people who have a job to do differently than the males that are doing the exact same job. And anytime those type of things start happening, then you have this environment where it isn't good for anyone. So I think as, you know, a guy that, you know, like myself who played professionally for 12 years, always treated everyone with the same level of respect, regardless if they were male or female.
And for us, it was a lot of times the beat writers, the women beat writers that would come in their access to you. They were there doing their job. I mean, that was the thought process. They'd come in, ask a question, do their job and leave. Some of these women we're talking about, you know, obviously are spending hours with these executives and it leading to the ridiculousness and what these guys are doing. It's obviously pathetic. As we move kind of onto the field here, Damian, I guess onto the field, you know, we just thought football was just going to kind of get going. And all of a sudden, I think some are maybe surprised that the talks between the union and the league have kind of, I don't know what, it doesn't sound like they're accomplishing anything. Where do you think we are with an on-time return to training camps? I guess the Texans rookies are supposed to report Monday, and we know the 28th was supposed to be the start of camp.
Mike, this whole thing is just really baffling to me. It just seems like the NFL is full speed ahead. You know, we talked about the draft, free agency. Everything that they've decided to do thus far has really been on time. And, you know, from my understanding, it was, you know, they wanted to kind of – the reason they wanted the NBA, MLB to really get going was to kind of get a feel for how those two leagues react to this whole pandemic, and then they can make the adjustments. But here we are with, 2 weeks left, 2 weeks before the Texans report, and, you know, we're still talking about simple protocols that, you know, that the players association don't even know what's going to happen, you know, as far as testing and sorts. So it just seems like there's a lot of flying by the seat of your pants when it comes to the NFL right now, and hopefully they can get more clarification in the very near future.
Damian Woody with us here on Golic and Wingo. A lot of the stuff you mentioned, J.J. Watt put a tweet out last night and said, we still don't have an answer. No infectious disease emergency response protocol from teams. What is camp going to look like? No, are we playing preseason games? How frequently are we testing? What effect does a positive test have on what happens going forward? All of these unknowns in this, Damian, but we know that preseason has been such a topic of conversation right now. The league wants two games. The players want zero and a longer ramp up on this one. Damian, what do you think we ultimately end up getting? What would make the most sense in that situation?
I think one game. I think split it. I understand, you know, listen, everyone knows that the preseason is, you know, owners make money in the preseason. I get it. They want, you know, they want some semblance of a preseason having two games. But again, we're, you know, with this whole pandemic, times have changed. This is not your ordinary, you know, ordinary preseason. So you have to make adjustments accordingly. And for me, it's more about having the protocols in place, making sure these guys are in shape. Remember, there hasn't been an off season, you know, so there's been no off season, no OTAs, none of that for any of these teams. So I would rather have that, try to get these guys in shape coming in to training camp than to worry about playing preseason games.
Again, the Houston Texans have been given the go-ahead to bring their rookies into their training camp facility this Monday, July 20th, for COVID testing and then onboarding the process per a source. And we don't even have a lot of this stuff figured out. It is amazing. All right, Damian, a little fun here on the last question. We just saw Myles Garrett pass Khalil Mack in the largest contract for a non-quarterback. Go back to, you played all the positions on the offensive line. You were that good and that versatile. Put yourself back out at tackle now, and you had to go a whole game one-on-one, no help. Who would you rather go against? I know probably maybe neither, but if you had to pick one, Khalil Mack or Myles Garrett?
I would probably say Khalil Mack. I would say Khalil Mack. They're both be a nightmare, and I'll have to pray a lot during the whole game. But at least with Khalil Mack, I can, the power rush, I'm not worried about that. I can clamp down on that. When you got Myles Garrett, who's basically a bigger Khalil Mack as far as his physical attributes, that's a problem. Long, lanky, can bend to the ground, quick, fast, everything. That's a huge problem. So I'll definitely give me Khalil Mack.
Damian, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with us. Stay safe.
All right, you too, guys.
Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. Golic and Wingo brought to you by Blue Emu. Maximum pain relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. I don't know who this Khalil Mack guy is. I've never heard of him, but sounds like he's a heck of a player. Coming up, why NBA coaches have the secret ingredient to win it all.
This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
That.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Bites.
This can't be happening.
What the hell?
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Nature Valley. Whether you're taking on the trail or your terrace, your deck or your back, or the dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help make you the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Jason Fitz, Mike Golic Jr.
What, was that not good enough reading for you, Jason? Because it wasn't good enough reading for me.
I feel like
or
I, like,
the Nature Valley folks.
There's something about you and me being in the same room. It has not helped your reading this week. I feel like it's on me. It's my fault.
We're certainly going to get to your reading in a little bit.
Well, I'm used to that. That Bites means we take a look at some of the best moments over the course of the last week. And this one comes from the NBA hotline for anyone in the bubble to call and report if someone is not following protocol. It became known as the snitch line. Doc Rivers joked he was going to use it to his advantage.
I turn in LeBron yesterday. I'm turning in, Pop today. I'm trying to turn all these guys in. I think it's phenomenal. We're going to be the only team left when I'm done with this hotline thing.
That bites.
That's taking it and running with it, huh?
We talked to Malika Andrews. They need a rebranding for the snitch line. Different name. The Health Heroes line. I tried it out yesterday.
Yep. You already went with for Bryson DeChambeau.
The Bam Cam's a great idea.
Whenever he's on the tee boxes, he had 400-yard drives yesterday. Go to the Bam Cam. I like that. So we need a new name for the hotline. And speaking of Bryson DeChambeau, he played a practice round with Tiger Woods on Wednesday at the Memorial. Said a lifelong dream, but during this presser, was he inadvertently meaning to taking a shot at Tiger Woods?
Back in the day, he was it. He was the golden star. He was the one everybody looked up to. And I can tell you that the junior golfers that I played with were all inspired by Tiger and how far he hit it and how he dominated tournaments. So there's a lot of kids that tried to be like him, tried to act like him, tried to do the things he was doing, which was great for junior golf. And, I was aware of it every single week he played because I watched and just in complete awe of going, man, how is he doing this? Especially when you're that young and you can't hit it more than 250 or something like that. He's in at 330, back in the day. And even now, he's hitting it pretty long. I mean, there was a couple holes, he hit 320, 325. And I'm like, that's pretty good, for his age. It's amazing for his age.
That for his age. Bites.
That so just stinks.
We got two back in the days, which I think after the second back in the day, he might have realized I went back in the day twice here. Oh, but he still hits it long. And then a lot of junior references and kids references.
A lot of other juniors looked up to him. Yeah. I wasn't one of them because I was busy mathing.
And I don't think that he was meaning maybe to take a shot, but maybe it wasn't. When Tiger's hearing that, though, he's hearing wah, 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 wah back in the day. Wah, wah, wah back in the day,
Can you imagine you finish like the workout of your life in Orange Theory? Someone says, hey, not bad for your age.
Yeah.
Whew. Oh, I can't.
Oh, I'm not supposed to say that?
Wow.
I was going to say, I hear that every day.
Can we do something about him?
Bryson here clearly like, oh, he still hits it pretty far, but have you tried protein and eating food? Because I do that.
Have you seen how far I hit it?
Bam Cam all of a sudden became more sinister.
I love this Bam Cam.
Our producer, Evan, is campaigning for DeSham Cam, but it feels like
Bam Cam, short and sweet.
The problem is I'm conflicted because I nicknamed Bruce Koepka, a.k.a. Bruce Cape Cow, Bam Bam Cam, Bam Bam Koepka in all this one. And I feel like I'm stealing Bam Bam from him as a nickname.
I just tweeted out my fully original idea is now to have a special camera on. And I tagged Bryson, so don't worry. Every time he tees off, call it the Bam Cam. Wow. I'm stealing your idea because you can't get on Twitter.
Still locked out. Free Golic Jr. and Senior on Twitter. About 20,000 fans were in the grandstands to watch NASCAR's All-Star Race at Bristol Motor Speedway. Those in attendance saw firsthand when Michael McDowell wrecked Bubba Wallace. Those of us watching at home got to hear Bubba's reaction.
Disrespect. When you get hooked into the wall, my hair looks terrible. Sorry, Mom. When you get hooked right rear in the wall, it's I don't even need to see a replay. Look at that. Yeah, wow. One of the nicest guys in the garage. Can't wait for the God-fearing text that he's going to send me about preaching and praise and respect. What a joke he is.
Wow.
That bites.
Wow.
Yo, NASCAR gets so spicy at times.
They do. And you get that immediate reaction, man. You get wrecked. You're out of the race. Man, they're over there interviewing that because that's what you want, man. You want that initial reaction.
We already had in NASCAR what we were wondering with all the social distancing, fisticuffs, dudes coming to blows and punching each other in the face. It's like, stay 6 feet
apart. If you do that, automatic test they have to have for that. And then, Jason, we'll take care of this.
Okay, good.
So we come at the end of every hour on the show is what's called the only hard out, where no matter what, we're off air. I mean, we can keep talking and nobody's going to hear. So you got to kind of hit the post on this one. And while Jason was trying to do that, he was trying to maybe say more than he wanted to say or forgot to say the actual name of the show. Either way, this is what it sounded like.
Coming up, why the biggest comparison to the Chiefs dynasty could be an NBA team. We'll tell you next. Yes, go mad.
Yeah. Cut that up. How quickly your laugh hit on that, Mike. I mean,
you know, and that's the hardest part about it. Like, I hear the laugh and they cut that up, and I realized that I had time. I still could have gotten the name
you
of
did.
The show.
What messed you up there? What were you trying to do?
I was trying to say coming up on, I'm supposed to say Golic and Wingo.
Right.
But instead, for some reason, I skipped to ESPN Radio. Technically, they want me to say Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio. Like, that's the whole thing. So I realized I had skipped the name of the show, and then I tried to audible. I tried to hot route in the middle of the play.
Right.
It did not work.
Well,
it did not work.
You only have to say that name 11 more days, so. No worries about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Give it a good college try. Now, what I'm going to do is tell you guys about something that doesn't bite, which is Hype Hits, a new ESPN music brand combining the best of music and sports. There are going to be a lot of great stuff coming out of that here soon. What we've got coming up today is the top 10 stadium anthems that you can check out wherever you get your music with all of this. Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, Amazon Music, all these great places. Who doesn't love a good stadium anthem and all this? We've lived them.
Like
Jason's
that.
Played them and all that. So check that out. That's all released this morning.
That's very cool.
I can't wait. Coming up, more Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio.